G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. This episode is on the assessment of an infant where you're considering the diagnosis of a BRUI, a brief resolved unexplained event. Important for these patients is that it's a diagnosis of exclusion and you need to first consider all the serious differential diagnoses, which are, from an airway perspective, airway obstruction, inhaled foreign body, laryngospasm, congenital abnormalities and infection, cardiac causes such as congenital heart disease, a vascular ring, arrhythmias and prolonged QT, abdominal causes such as intussusception, a strangulated hernia or testicular torsion, infective causes, pertussis, sepsis, pneumonia and meningitis, metabolic causes, hypoglycemia, hypocalcemia, hypokalemia and other inborn errors of metabolism, drugs and toxins or ingestions, so accidental or non-accidental ingestions, and of course, inflicted injury or trauma. Importantly, the history is key. The history ideally should be taken from someone who observed the infant before, during, and after the event to give you lots of detail. We need a description of the event, circumstances around the event, what's happened afterwards, and other history. In terms of the event itself, was there choking and gagging? From the breathing perspective, was there struggling to breathe? Was there pauses in breathing or apnea? Was there colour change, and what was the distribution of that colour change? Was the colour normal? Was there cyanosis? Was there pallor? Was there plethora? Was there distress? And what was the conscious state of the baby like? Was there a response to voice, touch or visual stimulus? And what was the tone? Was the baby stiff, floppy or normal? And movements, including eyes, were they purposeful or repetitive, concerning for a seizure? Regarding the circumstances and environment prior to the event, did it happen when the baby was awake or asleep? What's the relationship to the or of the event to feeding, and was there some vomiting? What position was the baby in? Was it prone, supine or on the side? The environment, what's the sleeping arrangement? Is there co-sleeping? The temperature, is it cold or warm? And the bedding, including blankets. Were there any objects nearby that could have been swallowed, causing choking or suffocation? And has there been illness in the preceding days? In terms of the end of the event, how long did it last for? The circumstances of cessation, did it self-resolve, or was there some sort of repositioning manoeuvre? Was there stimulation, or was there a resuscitation attempt, mouth-to-mouth and or chest compressions? And the recovery phase is important as well. Was it rapid or gradual? Other history that's important includes past medical history of previous similar events, preceding or intercurrent illness, sick contacts, family history of sudden death or significant childhood illness, patient medications and medications or other drugs within the home that were possibly accessible, and the social history. Are there other children at home? What's the parental structure like? Parental supports and a psychosocial assessment. In terms of examination, again, they're focused on finding out or investigating the differentials. For airway, or for all differentials, we want to know a set of vital signs, a complete vital signs. For airway, we're looking for a respiratory arrest or a choking child. Obviously, that requires immediate resuscitation. Stridor, increased work of breathing or a wheeze. Crackles or decreased air entry, unilaterally, for example, for a foreign body. Investigation to consider, white cell count, CRP, chest x-ray. For cardiac causes, on examination, looking for a tachycardia, syndromic features, for example, trisomy 21, cyanosis, prolonged cat refill, centrally or peripherally, the pulse, blood pressure or SATs differences, pre- and postductally, hepatomegaly, and bilateral crackles, evidence of heart failure, and of course, murmurs. Think about investigations of ECG and a chest x-ray in particular. For the abdominal causes, on examination, we're looking for a distended abdomen, a palpable mass for intussusception and testicular swelling. Investigation to ultrasound and abdominal x-ray in particular. For infection, looking for a fever on examination, focal crackles for pneumonia, a rash either from cellulitis or a diffuse infection, lethargy and a bulging fontanelle for CNS infection. Septic screen, obviously, urine, white cell count, CRP, blood cultures, chest x-ray, pertussis, PCR, plus or minus LP. For the metabolic causes, there might be dehydration and delayed central cap refill, dry mucous membranes, and or the exam might be quite normal. Investigations mostly a cap gas or a venous blood gas and the electrolyte panel and a serum glucose. For drugs and toxins, we're really just looking for the various toxidromes. Trauma, head-to-toe assessment, looking for swelling, bruising, and deformity. So once we've completed the history and examination, we're going to investigate the serious diagnoses, as mentioned above, and then we're going to risk stratify if it's not a serious diagnosis into a low-risk Brewy or a non-low-risk Brewy. So what is a Brewy? A Brewy is by definition, or it occurs in a less than 12 month old, it's less than a minute duration, there's a sudden onset with return to baseline, which is characterized by greater than or equal to 1 change in color, so central cyanosis or pallor, absent, decreased or irregular breathing, a change in tone, hypo or hypertonia, and altered level of responsiveness. And it's also not explained by an identifiable medical condition. So a low-risk Brewy is a subset of those Brewies where there are no concerning features on history and examination and all of the following. So greater than 60 days of age, born at greater than or equal to 32 weeks gestation with a corrected gestational age of greater than or equal to 45 weeks, no CPR by a trained healthcare professional. It's the first event and the event lasted less than 1 minute. Okay, so we've got a diagnosis of a Brewy and now we need to establish if it's a low-risk Brewy or not. If it's not a low-risk Brewy, then we're consulting the paediatricians for review and consideration of admission and further investigations. What investigations are we going to do? Well, the first set of investigations will be an ECG to measure the QT interval, in particular a nasopharyngeal respiratory PCR for viruses and pertussis, blood glucose, and that can be in the form of a capillary blood gas to also get potassium and calcium and sodium, and then a full blood count and electrolyte. If it's a low-risk Brewy, we're not needing to do further investigations and we can discharge the patient with early medical follow-up. However, in practice, we know that patients that present later in the afternoon or in the evening end up being admitted to maybe the short-stay unit in ED overnight for parental reassurance and observation. It really is important to spend time with the parents to counsel them that this is a reassuring diagnosis of exclusion. So that's it, the assessment of a brief resolved unexplained event. Thanks to Royal Children's for their CPG and thanks for listening.